Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody got gifts and talents and ability that was given by God. Some wanna be a doctor or a lawyer, or some just wanna be a star. Now you can be anything you want if you just believe. Ask yourself, what is it that you really wanna do? Name it and claim it and hold on to, because yeah.
If you believe it, you can achieve it. And if you pray and I doubt, you can have it.
All right.
Don't worry about a thing or nobody. Just look to the hills, reach out and claim it. If you believe it, you can achieve it. And if you pray and I doubt, you can have it.
Hold on.
Don't worry about a thing or nobody.
Nobody.
Just look to the hills, reach out and claim it.
Now there's no way that we could ever lose. Now we got on our side, yeah. Cause this word simply says that, yeah, yeah. If God be before us, who could ever be against us? And this is the confidence that we should have concerning Him. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That anything that we ask of Him, we know He hears us, but I.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, I need more time. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I want to welcome you to Woman to Woman, where I'm joined today by my co-host, Biblical Life Coach Tina Michelle, and also Prophetess Angie Singletary. It's a blessing and an honor to be coming to you live today right here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to encourage you to come into the chat room. The chat room is open. And also I want to encourage you to call in today to fellowship with us right here on Woman to Woman. We'll be discussing some topics that are relevant to being a woman and to being a woman in Christ, to being a woman of God. We like to cover whatever it is that the Lord moves us to cover. If there's a topic that you would like us to talk about, I want you to email me at power1@yahoo.com. So that's power1@yahoo.com. Email me and say, Pastor Rebecca, I have this question. I would like to have you discuss it on the broadcast, or I have this concern, or I'm dealing with this problem or this issue, and I really would like to have you and the lady shine some light on it for me. We are more than open for you to come in and communicate with us as to what it is that you would like to hear us talk about right here on Woman to Woman. I want to also refer you to Flowing with the Pastors on Tuesday. Pastor Anthony and I discuss what a lot of Christians are going through, hard times, difficult times, and how to make it through those times. I want to say that it was a blessed broadcast, and refer you to the archive right here at blogtalkradio.com/power when you get more time. Hello, Chill Will. It's so good to see you. God bless you. I want to say hello to you on today. I haven't seen you in a while. I pray that the Lord is blessing you. I would like to also say hello to Mrs. D. Neal, Dana Neal. God bless you, daughter. Good to see you. And again, I was referring you over to Flowing with the Pastors. And then when you have a little bit more time, go and listen to the Life More Abundantly radio broadcast. This week, I was supposed to be dealing with principle number 11, You Were Born to Win, but we got into a discussion about our president, Barack Obama, and a whole bunch of other stuff. You'll find it interesting if you go over there and listen to what is going on over there. I want to welcome my co-host, Tina Michelle. God bless you, Tina. Michelle.
Hello, hello. God bless you.
God bless you. So good to see you here on today. Amen. And I was just referring people over to the Life More Abundantly radio broadcast. I want to give that website that so that you can link directly to it. Write it down. Write it down. It's blogtalkradio.com/BibleTalk. So blogtalkradio.com/BibleTalk. And we got into a discussion yesterday about President Barack Obama and the Antichrist, the end times, racism. So you'll find it to be a very enlightening broadcast as you listen to the archives. And I just wanted to refer everybody over there to check that out. So that's it. You know, we're going to open in prayer, and then we're going to move forward with today's broadcast. Tina Michelle, would you like to open us in prayer today?
Sure, sure, always. Heavenly Father, I just love saying those words. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are with us, Lord. You never leave us nor forsake us, Father. You already know before we even ask the question. You always hear our prayer before we even form our lips to speak it. I thank you, Lord, that we are here today gathered as sisters in fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for power in the word. I thank you for Pastor Rebecca, Prophetess Angie, coming on the line today to minister and to serve the women. And the phenomenon of being served always happens for us when we're on this line, too. So I thank you for that, too, that as we give, you give abundantly, more than we can ask or think. Father, I just thank you for your peace. I thank you for your wisdom. But most of all, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you that we are redeemed from every element of the curse of the law, because you put the flesh on your body and was made a curse for us. And we thank you because of that we receive the adoption of sons, that we are not far away from your promise, but Father God, we are right clean in the middle. So as we hash out the word and hash out our experiences so that we can get understanding to execute your word in our lives daily, I thank you for the increase, and I thank you for the clarity, and I thank you for the strategy, so that we can always be in not just your permissive will, but in your perfect will today, Father God. It's in the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ that I thank you and praise you that it's already done. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and praise God. Hallelujah. Thank
praise
you for
Lord
prayer.
God.
Hallelujah.
Thank
There's
you,
nothing like it. My God. Hallelujah. Well, Prophetess is here, and we want to bring her on. God bless you. Good morning, women of God. How are you?
I'm blessed, Pastor. How is everyone today?
Good morning, Prophetess.
Good.
We're doing really well. Amen. I was just saying I need more time. I looked up, and it was already 12 o'clock. I said, wow, where did the morning go?
Uh-huh.
Are you at work today, Prophetess?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, because I know you have been taking care of some business, and everything is well, right?
Yes, yes. You know, still going through some more phases, but all is well.
Amen.
That's my claim. All is well.
Amen.
Amen. Endure like a good soldier, the good soldier that you are.
Amen. Yeah, so other than that, you know, work is busy, but all is well.
Amen. Amen. We want to say hello to Brother Reggie. Gospel music for you. God bless you. Good to see you. And we have the brothers in the house today. The brothers are beating the women here today. We have Brother Reggie here. We have Chill Will with us. If you remember, we interviewed him, Pastor Anthony and I, late last year, and he has an awesome, awesome testimony. So he's here on today. And Dana Neal is with us. Amen. Hey, Dana.
Hey, Dana.
Yes. So what's going on? I don't have a topic today. I didn't come. Last week we had a topic, and we talked about what to do when you know that your friend is wrong. And that was powerful. For anybody who missed it, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to the archives. And Prophetess, we missed you last week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I missed you guys, too. Yes, I had that unscheduled call that was on another day, and they had moved it. So, you know, I had to kind of suck it up.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So who has the topic for today?
I don't have a particular topic, Pastor.
So what are we talking about today, ladies? How are we going to flow today?
Well, you know what usually happens. We just start talking about what's going on in our lives, and then God goes, that's it. Because if it's going on in our lives, it's going in everybody else's life. What does that scripture say? Knowing that your brethren are tempted in the same manner.
In the same manner. You're not the only one going through. That's a sermon right there. So what's going on then? What's going on with you, Tina Michelle?
You know, it's funny because life, like I think I said last week, I mean, no one could have told me how it could be really. So, you know, there's a healing process after divorce and then moving 2,800 miles away. And God has done some miraculous things with my heart, even in, you know, in my love life in particular that you and I have spoken about. And just coming through years of knowing years that you were abused or traumatized, and being able to just lean on God as those things come up, knowing that if it's for now, it's not forever. It's the first time I'm settled enough to hear the pain that I've endured.
Yeah.
Because I've been moving, I've been taking care of my kids, I've been speaking, I've been ministering, and that year plus, taking that time off, I was still moving forward. It is the first time I can really take a deep breath and just go, and as I do that, so much has just come up for me to realize, Lord Jesus, how am I alive? It's
my
you.
God.
It's you. How did I even go through that? How did my mother do that as a single mother? You know,
how did my
grandmother endure what she endured? You know, Jesus, you are surely real in my life. So I've been in a space of gratitude and healing, and sometimes I feel like an open womb because those tears that come at night for the joy to come in the morning, they just come because I'm just so grateful to God that I could kiss my kids' foreheads and know that we came through. God moved us from hell to high water. He moved everything to make sure that we were safe, to make sure we were safe. And I was talking to my baby last night because she was sort of talking about it. Mom, we really experienced a miracle. I said, you know, God, in the battle of Ai with Joshua, God hung the sun in the sky for 24 hours until Joshua won. That's how big God is.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's so, yes, and it's just so good that we encourage our children and that we encourage each other in the things of the Lord. Because people are really going through, and I appreciate your testimony because we have to, you know, stop sugarcoating our testimony. We have to stop lying and acting like we are not going through, because it is our testimony and the blood of the Lamb that is going to help somebody else that may be going through. As I'm looking in the chat room, I see that, you know, there's a testimony, a brother in there said that, you know, he just had his car repossessed about 30 minutes ago. And he is believing God that God is going to give him another one. But not only that, but that God is going to keep him in his right mind in order for him to go through the trial. And Tina Michelle, you testified about you went through on last year and how God stepped in just at the nick of time to bring you out.
Yes.
And I also have been in a time of testing, a time of humbling, a time of being tempted by the devil even to come out of my character, what God has developed in me to try to go back. And see, my thing is, I'm not going back. You know, I have been sifted like wheat, and I have been developed in the faith to the point where I realize that what I have on this side is much better than what I had on the other side. And we get to a point where we say the devil can't make us revert to the flesh, to acting out and to responding to our circumstances the way, or to reacting to our circumstances in fear instead of responding in faith.
Amen.
We cannot react to our circumstances in fear and in faithlessness, but we have to respond in faith. And let me tell you something, and I know you both already know this, that's easier said than done.
Oh, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes.
True.
Yes.
That's true. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, we get hit with things and it's like, oh my God. And, you know, the first response is not always positive. But then we have to go back to the Father and pray and ask him to help us to get through that thing.
Amen. Amen. It's like when people say, I will die for him, you know. I remember saying that when I was, I just got saved. I will die for Jesus. I will die for Jesus, you know. And it's true, you know, in a lot of ways, because we have not been tempted yet unto death and persecution. We have not been tempted in that manner as Jesus was. But it's easier, and I don't want to say this lightly either. It almost seems easier to say I could die for him than to make the commitment moment by moment to live in him.
That's
there
powerful.
Are times when we say we could do this, you know, the abundance is there, the word is there, we are prayed up, we are moving, we have the company of our sisters and our brothers, but there are those times we are like Elijah in the wilderness going, Lord, what, Lord, I'm here, you know, and those are the times, that I experience that are precious to me. At the time, it felt so hard because I'm like, I'm here by myself, Lord. I know my sisters are there, but this is something I got to walk through on my own.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And it was hard because it was a minute-by-minute thing because my body wanted to go back, but I learned something, Pastor Rebecca. There was no back. I was so deep in the middle. There was no place. There was no land in sight that could look like anything of what I lived like. There was no going back. It was just moving forward or drowned.
Amen.
There was no
amen.
Back.
Because, and that reminds me, and that is so powerful. Mrs. D. Neal says, "Say it, Tina. You know, just say it." Because, and Dana also says that we have to not put makeup on an open wound, or an ugly situation. And she says that she knows when God puts her in the front line, when God puts her in ministry, that she will hurt some feelings because she will walk as she has been walking, and that's in truth. She says that some saved folk need to look at the reality of their lives outside of the church. And, you know, it's just so true that when we get home, there are times when we're in the church, we're in front of the people, we're ministering, and we are going through the motions of doing what we know we need to do for the Lord. And there are times when we are doing that, even for those of us who are just going to church, we're still going through the motions and putting that mask on. And there are times in the middle of doing that when you hit a wall and you say, you know what? I don't even feel like doing this today. You know, I'm going to do it because I've been called to it and because I want to go. I want to worship the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. But in reality, everything in me is hurting right now.
Yeah.
And you know, those are the moments when we have to, as prophets preach, we have to press.
Yeah.
You know, those are the moments that we have to press through the weight emptiness. We have to press through the weightiness of the circumstance, of the circumstances, because sometimes, I mean, we could make it look real pretty. We could talk about this and make it look real pretty, but let's just keep it real. Sometimes you get to the point where you're like you said, Elijah, you know, Lord, just kill me. You know, just let me die. You know, just let me die right now, because this is too hard. It's too hard, and I'm going through too much, and I don't feel like I have enough support, and I don't feel like there's nothing for me. I literally have given everything and sacrificed all, and now I'm grasping for something, and I need something, God, and I need something tangible. See, we know that God is there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But there are times when we want a human touch, when we want some human compassion. And it just, we look around and it just seems to, like, nobody's there. And that's when, like you said, Tina, when God says, hey, it's me and you. You know, prophetess, you're right there. You're right there right now. What God is saying to you, hey, it's me and you, girl. It's me and you, baby girl. And I'm going to bring you through it. And that's the test. That's a true test right there.
And if we want to be real, and we look about, we often minister in our own capacities based on our offices, right? So we want to be real. When I look at someone who is caught up, and I'm not condoning it, the sin of adultery, fornication, sexual sins, addictions, it's because in that time when they said they wanted something tangible, they did not look up. They looked around.
Okay.
You see, the circumstances, as the Lord broke it down in my spirit, are the things that circle where you stand, right?
Yes.
They circle around you. I have a choice to reach out my hand and either go vertical or I can go lateral and grab the circumstances in and make them mine. I could go vertical and surrender myself to the Lord in praise and worship and adoration, knowing that He is real and He has an answer for that. That is the choice of life. That is the hard part, ladies, right?
Right.
Whether I'm going to sit there and go, you know, Lord, you know, you're not coming quick enough, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to fix myself. Let's just be real. You know, my ministry is called to be real naked. That's why I love being on this line with you two ladies, because I don't have time for what they call in New York play. People are dying because of play. People are perishing because of play. We have to be naked. So for myself, I know that even through this transition, I had the opportunity to go in different directions that would satiate my need immediately.
Right.
But they were not God.
All right.
And I mean, sometimes shaking. Sometimes I had to just get up and go. Sometimes I had to just close the door, hang up the phone, go in the shower, something.
Right.
Be like Joseph, run in your drawers in the street.
Well, don't be running out in the street. Well, don't you be running out in the street in your drawers now, okay?
Nah, bro, it would be cute.
I know, I'm just laughing. I'm playing. But,
or something. But, you know, just
it gets to that point, though, right,
flee from it.
Where you feel like you have to, there is something different that you have to do, or sometimes it's just not and cry, you know, just have a big old boo-hoo before the Lord. You know, sometimes we're so busy, especially as women, you know. Women, it's okay to cry. You know, I mean, I got to say that again. It's okay to cry. You know, we are the weaker vessel. We are women. And sometimes we get so hardened by trying to be tough. You know, by trying to suck it up and stick out our chest and man up. But we can't man up. Because we're women,
and as women,
it's okay to be soft and vulnerable and fragile and weak, even to the point, not weak in spirit,
right.
Not weak, you know, but to the point where we are weak in our own strength, where all we can do is just cry and crawl into our Father's arms and cry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people think it's a crime. They're like, well, your faith is weak. you know, you're crying. You know, your faith is weak. You stepped out of the spirit for a minute. But, yeah. So can you pray for me? Because my faith is weak right now. You know, that's why I'm crying, because I'm going through something. And I believe that we need to get back that common compassionate touch as women. You know, the people come to us and they say, I'm going through. And we say, well, you know, be strong in the Lord. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to make it. But sometimes I just need a hug. You know, can you hug me and rub my back? Not rub me, pat me on the back. And can you say, I understand, I've been there, you know, and maybe share your testimony with me and maybe ask me if I need to talk, you know. But so often we look at people who we think should be strong and we see their weak areas, and instead of helping, we go away and we talk about them. You know, did you see her? She was all out. You know, she was having some kind of a day today. And I'm talking about women right now. It's so important for us to be able to hold each other up, you know, to bear the infirmities of the weaker sister. It does not mean that she's weak, you know, period. It just means that she's having a weak moment. And we should not be embarrassed to cry, you know, and to let somebody know. Isn't it so hard to let somebody know that you're going through? I mean, it's really hard these days.
I love the example of Christ when it comes to frailty, because that's all it is human frailty. You know, the Israel was looking for a king with a sword, like David, right? But he came and was tempted in every manner that we were, but yet did not sin. He wept. He was beaten. He was marred. He got frustrated with his folk. You know? And he felt the same way we feel every single day, but never sinned and never separated himself from the love of God. That is the example, not that tough thing. Otherwise, God would have sent another Saul. He would have sent another David. He would have sent another Solomon. But he sent himself in a very regular situation, in a time where they were really looking for someone to start a huge, massive revolution. So I feel like if it's important to my Father that I'm real, then we have to sort of demonstrate that. Because people have real problems. They have real issues. It's not fake, you know. It's not that temporary thing. It's not that, oh, just go ahead and do it. Just go and do it. It's real. People are really hurting. They're really hurting out there. So we really need to be naked. And there's such a blessing with that real naked fellowship amongst real sisters. There's such a blessing there. There's such a power of agreement that begins to occur.
Yes, and it can only come, it can only occur when we step out of ourselves to begin to understand somebody else and their struggle. When we realize that the Christian walk is a balanced walk, that we're not always going to be laughing and jumping and shouting, but there are times when we're going to be crying. Paul talked about this when he was talking about that he had went through so much. I was reading, and I had saw the scripture, I had written it down, in 2 Corinthians 1:8, Paul said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure." I have to read my own handwriting. He says, "We were pressed out of measure, above strength, inasmuch that we despaired even of life." You know, and that's Paul saying right there, we wanted to die. We were like the man of God when he said, "Just let me die." You know, so it just really, really gets to the point where you got to let people know that, look, I understand you're going through because I go through too. And that's something prophetess knows that we talk about in our church.
Amen.
Even being pastors,
yeah.
that we don't make people believe that we're not going through. You know, that we're not, because if we can't go through and come through victorious, look, for everybody, all of us, everybody listening, if you can't go through and come through victorious and testify of that victory, then how are you going to help somebody else to go through? Amen. You know, if nobody ever hears that, that somebody else has been through what they're going through right now, how are they going to be strengthened in order for them to make it through? And before you respond to that, I want to say hello to Prophet James and also to our sister, Pastor Fran. God bless you all. And also we have new Wabian Facts in the chat room. We want to say hello to you as well. And British Sapphire, we want to open up the phone lines. You can call in. We're not the only voices that we like to hear on Thursdays. We do like to hear from our sisters and even our brothers. Our phone number is 646-652-4832. And you can call in any time during the broadcast from the beginning. Oh, my God. Okay. We do have Jay Strickland with us. I thought we had people waiting to talk. Jay Strickland is with us. I just looked at the switchboard. Hey, Jay Strickland. And also Pastor Anthony is with us, my wonderful husband. I want to say wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband. But my mother-in-law says, stop telling people how wonderful your husband is. So I say, I'll stop at one wonderful. The man of God is here. And hey, Pastor Anthony. You all could say hello to Pastor Anthony and Jay Strickland if you like.
Hi, Pastor. And how's your name?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You know, I mean, we as women, see, this whole broadcast is about strengthening women, but we can't be strengthened if we feel like we have to wear a mask, you know, and people know me. I'll shout, I'll laugh, I'll jump, and I'll cry. And, you know, so I'm not afraid of emotion. Like you said, Tina Michelle, Jesus ran the gamut of emotions because he cried. Jesus wept when he found out that Lazarus was dead. He knew he could raise him again, but did he not cry?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. I remember being a child, and before we ate, we had to do a scripture in my grandmother's house. And my grandmother also told me, girl, don't be talking. If you have a good man, don't talk so loud about him. That's the same Nana.
But
she used to say, what, say a scripture. I say, Jesus wept.
No, we're going to stop right there because you brought it up. If you have a good man, don't talk too loud about him and don't say too much about him. And that's what my mother-in-law told me. Don't stop talking about how wonderful my husband is. Stop telling everybody how wonderful your husband is. But the thing about it is, what's up with that?
Yeah, what's up with that?
I mean, really.
I said all the time before I even wanted a husband, you know?
now, and we're women, right? And we're women. Because back in the day, in the world, you know, when I was 18, I had what I considered to be a good man, found out that he wasn't because he slept with my cousin. Okay, and this was before I was saved. You know, he slept with my cousin, you know, and I think I was telling her how, you know, wonderful, how, you know, how much I liked the guy. She saw it with her own eyes. People can see with their own eyes how much, you know, you like your man. Okay, so he slept with my cousin. So now I'm in Christ, you know, and you mean to tell me that in the same way that I couldn't tell my sisters in the world how great my man was, I can't tell my sisters in Christ how wonderful my man is? I mean, we're not sharing details, you know, but we're just saying he's a man of God. He's a man of integrity. I love him. You know, what's the problem that we can't respect or we can't accept a woman having a good man as sisters?
Or just the jealousy, you know, the jealousy if you got something.
But, you know, it's nothing wrong with you saying, Pastor, like, you know, you love your husband. You know who God placed in your life. and, you know, you guys are helpers of one another. But I don't see a problem with you saying, like, you know, I have a wonderful husband. Because this, you putting that out there, a person that's looking for a husband, these are the characteristics, let's say, you're putting out there in regards to your husband. A saved, sanctified woman, Holy Ghost-filled, they're looking with someone of those qualifications.
Yeah.
I take it as a positive thing.
We got to think of the the parties at play too.
Right.
You know, when I think about a lot of the advice that I got as a child, and there's a lot of it that's valuable still to me, and there's a lot of it that I realize is what I call fallen man's thinking, right? So it's a way that we were framed as women to look at the women, but it takes a man to be an infidelity in his heart also to participate. That just don't happen by accident. You don't just fall in somebody's bed. That's just the real.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the real. So as Christian women, we should be able to celebrate exactly what's going on. I love to hear Pastor Rebecca get that breathy sound in her voice. Mom, I love you, baby. Oh, my wonderful, wonderful husband. And I'm like, how sweet is that? They are my heroes, my heart heroes, because it's so genuine and so real and it's so naked, and I love it. And it encourages me and it even counsels me without counseling of what love should sound like. So if we can't love and live in front of other people, how will we be the example that they need to know what's real and what's not real? So a lot of those perceptions come from, like, what I call a fallen man's mentality. Girl, you better hold on to your man. Well, if the man is slippery, he's slippery, baby.
Yeah. I can't hold him. If he's slippery, I can't hold him.
Right.
Not even if he has scales on him, you know. If he's slippery, you know, and the thing about it is, what women, I want to just say this to let women know why I call Pastor Anthony my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband, and sometimes why I put five wonderfuls. Sometimes I put seven wonderfuls on there. Let me tell you why. Because when we first got married, he was not my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful husband. You know, he was a pain in my neck. He was a thorn in my side. He got on my nerves. We could not get along. He hurt me. I hurt him. We had to pay the price to get to the point where we love each other and respect each other and are grateful to have each other in each other's lives. We had to learn to be one. We had to become together as one flesh and learn to be one. We had to become selfless, you know. There was one saying in church that really stuck with me, and it was, you have to call those things that are not as though they are. And that's where that began. Where even if he wasn't wonderful, I called him my wonderful husband. And then when he was even less wonderful, I added wonderfuls to it. So so now to the point where it's the reverse, where when he is more wonderful, he gets more wonderfuls. When he's less wonderful, he gets that one wonderful. You know, but because we go through. We're married. You see what I'm saying? Everybody has this pie-in-the-sky idea of what marriage is about, but for the single women out there, and even the married women, let me tell you that you, when you get married, you're going to go through. You're going to go through hell. You're going to go through some fire. You're going to go through some storms. You're going to go through some crying fits. You're going to go through some growing pains. You're going to go through some blessed times and some happy times, some ecstatic times. But nevertheless, you are going to go through. And you have to be ready. You have to be ready. So what I'm saying is, just like looking at someone's anointing, and say, I want that, and begin to covet it and begin to hate that person because of the power of the Lord that they're walking in. You must realize that that person has gone through to get to where she is.
Amen.
See, my question always is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, Tina.
My question always is, when I see a person respond in that fashion, that covetousness, and maybe because I'm a coach, right, so I deal with the human condition as it aligns with the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of truth. So I look at, why is it that you can't be happy? Why is it that you feel that you have to have somebody else's anointing, usurp somebody else's life. It's because of insecurities and striving within that person. And within that person that they cannot, and you know, this is women. Women, men go through this too. Don't get it twisted. I coach a lot of people. I think I put 3,000 hours of coaching in so far. But they don't talk about it. We wear it on our faces. You know, we talk about it to this person. We, you know, put our hands on our hips when we see something. It's the pain that that woman is experienced by saying, why not me too? Instead of saying, yes, Lord, me too. That's right. One day I'm going to have exactly that thing that you have called me to have, whether it's a husband, a ministry, a calling, a job, some money, whatever it is, Lord, that word is the same for me as it is for her. Instead of saying that, we go, it's why not me? What did I, how come she's better than me? That's all insecurity, lack of confidence, not really walking in your identity in Christ. So my conversation usually with them is not really about why you did that. It's who is God to you? What did Jesus do for you? Because God is no respecter of persons. The word is the same.
Exactly.
The word
exactly.
Is the same.
And
so I see the crisis there. I don't really necessarily get mad at the woman. I see that if they're a Christian, because, you know, not every, they're not Christian like you talked about last week. Discern what they really believe. Do they believe differently, you know? Now, that thing was good last week, Pastor Becca. I was listening to it over and over again. What do they really believe? What do they believe? You know, get a common ground. Figure out, really, what is the truth about the situation, you know? And because when we see someone in pain, it's our tendency to want to hit back, like you said, react. Earlier.
Yeah.
But our response is the word of God. And we can only do that when we know that we know that we know that God is real for us. And the reason why we have what we have is because God is real for us. And let me share that with you, my sister, because he's real for you too, because you are beautiful in his sight.
Amen. Amen. And that is the misconception that someone is better than you. You know, it's not that they're better than you or even better off than you, especially if you're both in Christ. It just means that she has gone through what she needs to go through to get the blessing that God has for her. And like you said, in the same way, we are all daughters of the Most High God, and we are all in position to inherit the blessings of Abraham. So
amen.
We have to know that the promise in Jesus is yea and amen. So we have to remember that what God has done for another person, like you said, he is no respecter of persons, and he will do it for you too. I like what Pastor Fran is saying in the chat room, and she says that also here are some reasons that, you know, women will hate on you or try to get what you have or covet what you have. Lack of repentance, desperation, wrong motives, self-centeredness, and desire of attention, failure to break with the occult, failure to severe binding ungodly relationships. You know, so these are all things that we, and I love the way Pastor Fran, she's a blessing. She breaks it down. She called in on Tuesday with Flowing with the Pastors and gave us some weapons of warfare. You got to go back and listen to that. But it's true that we need to deal with these are all issues, Pastor Fran, and we need to deal with our issues as women. And when you start talking like this, you know, the listenership falls off, because this is stuff that goes down to the core of a woman's being. You know, where we get deep and go down and begin to say, look at yourself and say, what is wrong with me that I can't be happy for my sister? And know this, that God is expecting some things from you, and he wants to do some things in you so that he can give you the very desires of your heart, whether it's a husband or a ministry or a child or money, you know, a career, a business. God wants to do so much for you. Hallelujah. There's so much that he wants to do for you. There was a scripture, and I'm going to release the floor in Deuteronomy that I shared with the church last Wednesday. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, Let me start with verse 1. It says, all the commandments which I command thee these day shall you observe to do, that mm-hmm. ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And that's what God does in those wilderness times when we feel like there's a lack in our lives. He's humbling us and he's testing us and he's trying to see what's really in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So, this, you know, that's a word for somebody that's been waiting on the Lord. You know, why are you still going around that mountain? You know, why are you still wandering mm-hmm. around in the wilderness or in lack, you know, what you perceive to be lack? Because it's really not lack. God has it. He has your blessing for you, and he wants to release it to you, but he wants mm-hmm. to make sure that you're ready for it.
Oh, yeah. My nana used to say, God don't bless no fool. You got to pray every day. Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. How come he hasn't blessed me with this? How come he hasn't blessed me with that? Because he don't bless no fool. God don't bless no man. So he's going to let you have just enough to sustain you so that you won't shoot yourself.
Yeah.
It's very simple. And there's times I look at my life now, you know, when I was, you know, I think I forgot where the scripture is. This is when I was a child, I thought like a child and I acted like a child.
Yeah.
But now that I'm grown, mm-hmm. there was times when I was 22 years old on fire for Christ, expected to hit the microwave button and boom, abundant blessing. Thank
wow.
you, Lord Jesus. You did not give me what I wanted at that time. I would have been a
because
public
you couldn't have handled it.
And not only that, he says we're his trophy. So we're his trophy whether we're in the blessing or not. He hides us as mercy when we're going through. When you have the blessing is to show out so that people will see the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and come to the kingdom, not to just get you another car.
Right, exactly. And he wants, you know, the thing about it is that, you know, he is amazing because so many times we think that God does not have this stuff in store for us, but he does have this stuff in store for us, but he does not want that stuff to be our focus. You know, he mm-hmm. does not want us focused on the blessing more than we are focused on the blessor.
Amen.
You know, he is God. He does not want us focused on more on the creation, the created things, more than we're focused on the creator. So
yeah.
we have to continually, that's why he tests us. That's why he humbles us, because he wants to make sure that when we get the stuff, you know, and the stuff will come, because the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it adds, and he added no sorrow with it. But the thing about it is, when the blessing comes, God does, he wants to make sure, as he told us in Deuteronomy 8, that we won't run off and say and forget that it was he who gave us the ability
Amen.
To get wealth, and say that it was me, my hands, my genius, my intelligence, because
That's
I'm
right.
so wonderful
That's
and great. I did it, and forget to give God the glory, like you said, mm-hmm. Tina Michelle.
Amen.
So we can't forget where it comes from.
Yeah, because we got to seek first the kingdom of God and his
mm.
right way of doing things, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. You know, and we forget that order. We forget that order. And by forgetting, don't worry. God will remind you. He brings all things to remembrance, because I had the nerve some of those times, and actually multiple times, Lord, I want your perfect will in my life. Why isn't this happening? Because it would not have been his perfect will. Not because he's trying to withhold love or withhold this or that from me, but because I would have been like the rich young ruler saying, I have obtained great things. My father has obtained great things, and I'm afraid to give it up. To follow after you because I have a great responsibility. I don't want the Lord to look at me and say, it is easier for a camel to get into the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven. I don't want him to say that to me, who you, when I say, Lord, Lord. That's my desire. My desire is to be in that number. So if that's truly my desire, then we trust God to mold us and to make us and to shape us. We trust God even through the fellowship of the powerful women of God, the powerful leaders that he puts in front of us, to know that they're not trying to hurt us. And even if it does hurt in the moment, is good medicine.
Yeah.
And to hear what we need to hear and not just run an offense to protect our pain and our offense. That's how the enemy plays with our heads. He keeps us in secret, mad, but we go, oh, hallelujah, I received that, Jesus, hallelujah. You got to take the medicine.
Yeah, and it's just so important for us not to walk in fear.
Amen.
You know, we talked about being scared to, you know, and I say this to women all of the time. I mean, I used to say it to single women, but, you know, when I wasn't saved, but I'm saved, you know, and I'm ministering to godly women. Don't be telling all of your business. You know, that advice is good. You know, don't give away all of your secrets. You know, if you know things that push your man's buttons, then you keep that to yourself. Don't go telling everybody how to push your man's buttons.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for you wives, you know, stop telling your girlfriends how good your husband is in bed, you know, or whether he's not good in bed. You know, he might be a minute man. And don't be going around telling people your business, your bedroom business. The bedroom is the marriage bed is undefiled. So that advice goes a long way to say, you know what, you can't tell everybody, he kissed me and my toes curled, you know. You know, my husband, you know, he kissed me and my toes curled. You know, you can't that's certain things that will make women's minds go somewhere else where their minds don't have any business going, and it opens up a whole can of worms, you know. If you're not married, you don't have no business, you know, tongue kissing and all of that stuff anyway. Your toes and everything else going to curl if you don't be careful, if you're not careful. So some things are sacred, you know, and don't tell everybody every time you have a fight, you know, if he did something that's displeasing you, especially in relationships. This is not just for marriage, but you and your man have an argument. Don't go and tell your girlfriends all of your business, you know, what he said and you said, and don't tell your mother or his mother all of your business. You know, certain things are sacred. You know, you can't just, certain things are just between you and him and nobody else. So we just really have to be careful how much we do reveal. But like we were saying earlier, don't be scared to say, my man is a man of God, and he's a man of integrity. Satan will always be there to try to tempt somebody to try to see if they could get his attention. But you have to trust God that what he has for you is for you. And like Pastor Fran said, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. You know, keep boundaries in place. Make sure you have boundaries in your relationship. That's, you know, your mouth is one way of keeping a boundary. And another way is not to have, if you're a female and you're hoping for a husband, you can't have a man in your space that's very intimate with you, you know, whether he's somebody that you just confide in all of the time, and he's not your husband, because he could be blocking the space that your husband is supposed to take.
That's right.
And if you're married, this is the last thing I want to say about marriage, if you're married and you're having problems in your marriage, you can't go to another man and tell that man your problems, nor can you allow your husband to go to another woman and have that woman as a confidant, because you're opening up the door for adultery. You may never lay down with that person. You may never kiss that person. You may never touch that person other than, you know, comfort them. But you open the door for adultery, which is a spiritual adultery, what we call emotional adultery, where you're sharing things with another person or he's sharing things with another person that should only be shared with you. So these are just some guidelines that I just wanted to throw out there for women who are dating their husband or married.
And that's so important, because I always joke and talk about my nana, I talk about my mama, but I'm so grateful because I had the elder women of the church giving me direction, giving me counsel. And a lot of women today, they don't have that. They don't have someone to say, you know, that's just, don't do that. Don't do that. It's not good for your house. And I know even just with my own process with getting divorced and everything, the shocker came to a lot of my girlfriends who never knew I was going through anything. And it wasn't because I was faking it. It was none of their business because it was between me and my husband at the time. I didn't want anybody talking, agreement in any direction towards me that would make me perceive this anything except for what God wanted for me to do. I didn't want a whole bunch of people involved in the aspect that my children would be impacted. And the simple truth is, my grandmother always said, if God made Adam and Eve, not Adam, Eve, Shaquana, and Steve.
Stop. No, keep the butts out. You know, have everybody else butt out of your business.
That's
and
right.
I, you know what? For sisters, I want to just speak up for sisters right now, because there's some sister listening that said, no, nobody wants your man. You know, every woman is not trying to take another woman's man. And I just want to speak up for sisters. Sometimes we have to be discerning when we start talking about how great our relationships are. You know who you're talking to, because you might be talking to someone who's hurting at that moment because she still doesn't have anybody and she's been waiting, or she might have just broken up with somebody that she really was believing God for, that was her spouse, or maybe she's going through in a relationship, in a marriage. So we have to be discerning all of the time, you know, before we open our mouths and say, oh, he's just so great, I just love him. You know, we just really do have to be discerning, you know, as to how much what we say and when we say it. So, because we have to consider our sisters above ourselves. You know, yeah. So that's another thing that we have to think about. In this last 3 minutes, we want to say hello to Sister Peaches. God bless you, Sister Peaches. Prophet of God has joined us. God bless you, sir, and welcome. We only have 2 minutes left, and we didn't get any calls today. The phone lines are always open. We want you to email us at powerintheword1@yahoo.com to let us know what you're thinking about women to women and how we can make it better, how we can better deal with some of the topics that are important to you, what are some of the topics you would like to hear us discuss on this broadcast. Prophetess, any last comments before the end of today's broadcast?
No, I don't have any comments, Pastor, but it's funny. I had a conversation with my sister on yesterday, and a lot of what was covered today, the Lord allowed me to minister to her, you know, because she's going through and getting frustrated. But the one thing I wanted to remind her, in our frustration, we don't want to blame God for anything that we allow our flesh to put ourselves into.
That's right. That's right.
So this was a wonderful broadcast.
Wow, and that's good counsel. That's good counsel. I pray that everybody heard what Prophetess said. Let's not blame God for what we allow our flesh to get us into. And we will fall. We may fall into temptation, but you can get back up again. You can get back up again. Repent and start over. Tina Michelle.
I've been blessed by the broadcast. I just finished I can't even call it a full website. It was just my thoughts on love. Just this morning I finished putting it the site together, just because I believe that, you know, receiving the love of God, loving in your own skin, and then sharing that love has to be something that we discuss. So I just finished the site. It's called learning2love.com. So it's right in the middle of it, learning2love.com. But it's I'm so blessed to just be able to have the time with my sisters and just hear your voices and be encouraged over here in the desert in Arizona. It's a blessing. It's a true blessing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And it is a blessing to be with you all every single week. And we are sharpening each other and strengthening all that come. Amen. So it's just a blessing. We want to thank everybody for coming to share in this time with us week after week. And know that God has a specific blessing in store for you. Tina Michelle said something very important. Cultivate your relationship with Jesus, with God the Father first. and make sure that you have the Holy Spirit reigning in your life, and then you can begin to love yourself. Make sure that you're loving yourself, and then you can begin to love someone else. Check out her website, learningtolove.com, and also tune in next week right here for Woman to Woman, right here on blogtalkradio.com/power. So we will see you next week. And we just pray that you have been blessed today. God bless you. Go and serve the Lord. And remember to make the most out of every opportunity. Also remember that we love you, and so does God. Amen. And he loves you more. God bless you, everybody.
God bless. Wow.